Stephanie Weir, I can't believe you are one of these bandwagon climbers on Earth, because Beyonce releases a big album and a big song, and now suddenly you're from Texas too.
It's what we do. Bandwagon is my thing.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 929, West Texas Weirs. And comedian Stephanie Weir, who you may know from the shows Mad TV and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, is bringing her one-woman show, The West Texas Weirs, to Chicago's I.O. Theater this Saturday and Sunday, September 28th and 29th, 2024. In this Southern Fried misadventure, Stephanie explores how she grew up on a used car lot and how dealing with a complicated father was both a challenge and made her the person she is today. I had the pleasure of hearing you tell one of the stories that I assume is part of West Texas Weirs, your one-person show. But what's the superhero origin story of the show itself?
Well, you know, the story I think you heard was about when I had a car at 16 from my dad's used car lot, and it was a runaway car, basically. I was stuck in this, you know, a bad 70s episode where the car was literally running away from me. That story is not in my show, but this is about growing up on a used car lot in West Texas. And I've got so many of these stories, lots of shenanigans. You know, my dad would plan our family vacations around repossessing cars. And so this is one of my favorite vacations that we took. So, I'll tell you what, I lost my dad in 2020 of COVID. And I think finally these stories have some levity to them. I think in my family, we've been batting them around for years, and they're funny, but they're also very irresponsible, which, you know, I think a lot of our generation, there was a lot of irresponsible parenting going on. But for some reason now it's really funny to me, and maybe it's because I have children and I can see why parents make the choices they make. So that's kind of what was spearheading it. And I love telling stories, and this is a good one.
Well, and you can also delight in not only how you survived your own childhood, but delight in the fact that, oh my God, I can't believe my parents allowed us to do this. I would never do that as a parent.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
Well, and it also occurs to me, I'm so sorry to hear about your dad, but it occurs to me that 4 years after a pandemic, or, you know, 4 years of a pandemic, and then a couple years after, and then losing your father, suddenly these stories you've been telling your whole life kind of have a focus and a lens through which to tell them.
It's a yes, absolutely. And it's not a pity lens. I don't know if that makes sense, but sometimes we're telling these stories from a place of like, I really need sympathy. And I think there was a time in my life where I kind of did. And when I would share some of these stories, I mean, they were always kind of in the context of like, here, you know, as we all do, we share our dysfunctional family stories and they're funny, but we're also kind of working through it. Yeah. And I do feel, the kind of clarity that I'm having is this is, and I don't, I say this in my show and I don't mean any offense to it, but since my dad died, our relationship has never been better. And I still feel that he's really here with me, kind of talks through to me through some, you know, our interesting ways that I'm interpreting. And he was a complicated character. And I'm able to kind of leave some of that other stuff behind and really hang on to the nuggets of what made him so unique. That's kind of the journey I'm going on in this story. I think I'm not sharing on stage is, you know, my dad and I fought about COVID, and, he certainly fit a certain type of guy that we all recognize. Mm-hmm. And it was a crock. And he had said something that was just really insulting to me. And especially when we're all in lockdown and we're all kind of worried, truly worried about our children and, you know, everything. And nobody knows. I don't know. Maybe he was right. Maybe there was no, you know, fear for us out there, but we were all trying to navigate it. And he made me so mad. And we just had this fight. And I said some things. And I remember to being like, I'm so tired of, you know, men like you describing what my reality is, you know, like, here, let me tell you the truth or whatever. And anyway, we didn't speak until he was in the hospital, and it was no victory, you know, for him to have wound up in the hospital and die alone in a hospital of COVID. There was nothing in that scenario that felt good or, you know, told you so or whatever. It sucked. It sucked for a whole lot of us. Yeah. But it was right on brand for him. And in an interesting way, there were so many funny elements to it. And, I don't know. Now it feels right. It makes sense. Of course, at the time it was shocking and terrible or whatever, but anyway, yeah.
Sure. And you said not through a pity lens. It feels like a celebration lens.
Yeah.
You are, and also you're processing this. And interestingly, I went through an emotional journey just as you were telling me about your father. And part of me was going, oh, well, he died as he lived, you know, denying science and reality. and yet I'm feeling sorry, and I'm processing my own feelings about these kinds of men that on a national level that mm-hmm. exist and demonize us as we head mm-hmm. into this presidential election. And you are helping me even in this conversation process my feelings about these kinds of I use the word assholes?
Yes, freely. I think he would use it as well. Yeah. A sasshole, an asshole, asshole, which is somebody I just learned who asks your opinion on something and then does the opposite of what you suggest. An asshole. Isn't that great?
You just described my wife, D. Ryan.
That's, you know what? G and I have something in common. I'm that element to my husband. I don't know what it is. I'm processing it. I'm also like, I do a lot of that in the show, processing that type of man from when I was growing up, when really they all ran the show, you know, my mom couldn't get a credit card, you know, those same tropes. But I'm also trying to separate it from some of the fun freaking qualities that they bring to the table. And I don't think we're ready to like lead with those yet, but it helps me. I don't want to throw everything away with him because there was so much. He had a very unconventional relationship with reality that he shared that I also have. I have elements of this in my life. I hate paperwork so much. And the bureaucracy of things, I had both my children at home. That was the real reason. Not because I was granola-y and wanted to experience the wonderfulness of a natural childbirth. It was a power struggle for me of not wanting to be in the hospital and have people outside me telling me how to do it when I feel like ultimately I kind of know what's best for me. And that's arguable. You know, a lot of people argued with me about that. It's like, you don't know better than doctors, or you don't. So there's a push and pull that's happening that I could see, you know, that my dad has, and there's elements that he and I shared that I'm trying to embrace in the way that I can, and also make it super funny. And cause it, you know, these stories I have are there, you know, he was a funny, very funny, entertaining guy.
This is Liz Allen. I'm an improv coach. I'm the writer and creator of Tonight I Am My Mother. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Yeah. Where can you RSC the RSC? In the next month, we'll be performing our special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged in Rockville, Maryland, Reston, Virginia, Cornelius, North Carolina, just outside Charlotte, Bristol, Tennessee, and Greeley, Colorado. Then we'll perform the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged from December 9th to 11th at the South Padre Island Convention Center in Texas. And next March of 2025, we'll return to the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts for the three-week Lort Theater premiere of The Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel. Check out the touring page at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Stephanie Weir, talking about her one-woman show, The West Texas Weirs, which she'll be performing this Saturday and Sunday night, September 28th and 29th, 2024, at Chicago's IO Theater. I'm hearing what you're saying about how this rugged individualism that you inherited from your dad, but also this skewed way of looking at the world, which I imagine has to have helped immeasurably in your career in comedy, right?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Just even being here. And you know what I mean? Like I think my mom and my brother and my sister don't have that same sense of like, well, the math
right and wrong.
Says, right. The math says that this is a terrible idea for me to move to Chicago and pursue this, and that I will probably starve to death or whatever. But there's something inside of me that's like, nah, I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be all right. And that was something that my dad had, and Beyonce has. If we
Hello.
Want to tie her back into the conversation. And I do love Carter Country. I absolutely adore that album. And it resonates with me, some of that energy that we're talking about, this male kind of bravado, which can eat itself alive.
Was he such a rugged individualist and iconoclast that he was too cheap to buy you an A for your name?
Yes, they're expensive. Vowels are expensive. We all know that.
Yeah.
Here is why I think my dad left the A out of my name. My name is Stephanie, which if you say it with a West Texas accent, sounds right. It's like Stephanie. I think he left it out because, and it was his decision. Every time I have to fill out a piece of paperwork and people ask me about it and why it is your name spelled that way, I have to conjure up my dad and say I bring him into every conversation, and I think that's a sign of a true narcissist, is finding these really sneaky ways to work himself into every story of my life. And ultimately, it's been fun. You know what I mean? I have a longer conversation with people just based on that. So, and I'll tell you one thing about my dad is he could talk to anybody, and he wasn't, even though some growing up, he was not a prejudiced person. If I never worried about who I dated, if I had turned out I was gay or my sexual orientation wasn't, you know, maybe the traditional route, I know 110% both of my parents were on the same page with like, okay, you know, we may not understand it. And I don't think everybody can say that. And I don't think every person watching Fox TV feels that way, but I know my dad did.
And I'm not sure not every kid whose parents watch MSNBC can say that.
Oh, yes.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My son, who is 14, is gay. And I know even for us, as you know, there is coming to that realization. You're right. It's not so straightforward. Not that we would have ever denied him anything, but I think these it's a process. Yeah. Parenting is a process. And at the end of the day, all you're wanting to do is love, but I guess my point being, it's, despite how you vote, it's, you know, can be complicated.
I assume this is one of the early interviews that you've been doing about the show. Is it fair to call this performance a kind of a comic exorcism in a way?
Ooh, I like that. Yes, Austin, a comedic exorcism. Yes, absolutely. Check that box.
Put that on the poster.
I will. Yeah. And this is the first time I'm talking about it on a podcast. Thank you so much. And thank you to Liz Allen for suggesting that I reach out and say, hey, can I be on your podcast?
Well,
you're so kind.
You one-woman show gals are my bread and butter. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast, except for one more possibly not safe for work thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Stephanie Weir will perform her one-woman show, The West Texas Weirs, at Chicago's I.O. Theater this Saturday and Sunday, September 8th and 29th, 2024. Go to ioimprov.com for more information. Then send us your complicated childhood via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to used clown car salesman Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Grant Fitch. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Liz Allen, who spoke with me last May about her one-woman show, Tonight I Am My Mother. For more information about Liz's show or her improv coaching, visit her website, lizallenimprov.com. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 929 2787ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah, I'll jump on any bandwagon that goes by. My son is currently on the RuPaul bandwagon, and I'm tossing around the word hunty like I discovered it. Yeah, that's just my MO. And I mean, did Beyonce jump on my bandwagon or did I jump on hers?
Such a fair question. Such right? a good question. And before we go any farther, tell me what that word again was. Was that hunty with an H or cunty with a C?
It is hunty, and it is honey and cunty, I think, are what the combined term was. And yes, I grabbed my pearls and I bristled the first time I heard my son saying it. And he explained it to me that this was a term of affection used in the gay community, especially, you know, in the drag community. And I said, okay, all right. And we're anyway, eased into it. I'm telling him one morning, hunty, you better be refilling those eye strays. And he was like, you don't get to use it. Only me and we do. So anyway, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a beautiful word we could all use.
Well, and the word it's alighting honey with is also an incredibly useful word. And I don't even know yet what my policy is about bleeping that word on the podcast. I don't think I've ever had to confront it.
I didn't mean to throw you a curveball so early on.
Early in the conversation. I love these digressions.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.